again to another edition of American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. It's the 19th of October, 2005. Don't forget to turn back your clocks on the 29th, 10 days from now. Go back to the old standard time on the 29th. Turn back your clocks. Today is the first hour of 6 hours of live broadcasting that I'm going to be participating in. After this show, we'll be on with John Stadmiller, apparently, and then we'll be on with Michael Shaw at 11 p.m. Central Time, apparently. And he's on this network as well. Then the other show I do at night. So 6 hours of this today, and here I see on the front page, flu vaccination. Not a long shot this year, they say. Clinics help those at risk. We have the bird flu, much of this on the bird flu listeners. Full coverage on our website. Bird flu outbreak in China. 2,600 birds dead of bird flu. Is that really the way it goes and is? Uh-huh. Bird flu set to hit Africa soon, according to the BBC. All countries need a minister for flu, says UN expert. Oh, really? EU calls for global response to bird flu threat. The European Union. This is right next to our portion on the left, the United States mission to the European Union on the website. And also on the left over there on our website, GPS and the European Union's Galileo program. And you're encouraged to look at Agenda 21, paragraph 40.13 and 40.24, because the opportunity to understand the GPS, the Global Information System, is there for you to consume. So we have much information on bird flu. The EU calls for global response to bird flu threat. Once again, bird flu vaccine test on humans, Hungarian minister. Amid bird flu fears, EU test health procedures. The facts and frenzy on bird flu from the Chicago Tribune. Then we have the full coverage of the bird flu. And this is just one portion of the situation on our website today. Here we have more storms. Wilma is going to hit Category 5 by the time it reaches land, apparently. Category 5, listeners. And so here you have it on our website, the information that you need. Wilma strengthens to Category 5 hurricane from the Washington Post. Now, once again, environmental modification has been exposed by Secretary of Defense Cohen back in 1997. It's been exposed. It's been totally exposed. And then we've had an informative man named Ben Livingston. He's 77. And he's had a master's degree in cloud physics from the Naval Academy, I believe. And listeners, he works for Weather Modification Incorporated. And he's disgusted about Katrina. We'll have to get him on. Hopefully we can find him to get him on, because he knows hurricanes can be steered. This man, Ben Livingston. U.S. has weather control. So here we go again. This is the paramount reason to expose this information, all of us, to our representatives, state, local, and federal. Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer will be with me today on the first hour, and we'll see where we go from there. Continue to listen, listeners. Stay with us. Pick it up. We have Don Harkins with us from the Idaho Observer. Don, welcome to the broadcast. Hello, Don. How are you today?
Oh, it's a little bit of a rainy day in North Idaho, which is a little bit handy because I have this tendency on nice days to want to go outside and do things when I should be actually inside doing my part in the revolution. So I'm inside today, forced inside by the rain, and I think it's a missed blessing, but I have to say, I'm getting more stuff done this way.
Well, you've been doing this for a long time. It's hard to stay focused at times.
Well, you know, it does. It kind of comes and goes, I suppose. We're on it all the time here, as just like you. You don't ever get away from the, quote, conspiracy. It's in every single blade of grass and every whiff of air that you breathe. But there's times when you've got to put the stuff aside long enough to go out and do the things in life that are necessary to keep a roof over your head and wood in the stove, as we would say here in Idaho, because I don't bother with electric heat. And it's good to be balanced in all areas, but as things get more intense, the call to patriots and the call to self-responsible Americans to get out there and do something and to continue informing your friends and family and neighbors is greater and greater, it seems, with each passing day.
Oh, it gets very frustrating looking at the news. And right now we're seeing Hurricane Wilma.
Yeah, here she comes. We're in the W's already.
Right, and Category 5 already, too. And it seems to be a pattern that's very obvious to most of us. I'm sure you're well aware of environmental modification.
Well, yeah. Even there's a gentleman by the name of Jerry Smith out of Reno, Nevada, who's
yes.
done... You familiar with Jerry?
Oh, yes.
He's really an interesting fellow, and I like the way he approaches things. And his research, from what I've checked out, is quite flawless. And he mentioned that post-World War II, that a storm was out on the coast off of North Carolina, and at that time they manipulated it and drove it inward, and it wreaked major havoc in North Carolina, killed a bunch of people, and then went back out to sea. And they even publicly claimed credit for having done that. So the technology to steer, at least, a tropical storm has been extant since the 40s.
Yeah, and Darren Weeks disclosed and discovered from Australia that a tsunami bomb was built in 1944 during the Second World War. So here we have relevance to what's going on right now back in the 1940s to recent events that have been very catastrophic.
Well, sure. You know, and I think that it's not just a weather modification, but every single aspect of the, quote, conspiracy against us. I mean, every avenue and facet of it, every single direction we can be under attack, we are at this time. And all of the clues are published. Most of them are available in the local public library, but most people don't have much of a memory or a capacity for bringing all of this stuff together and understanding it for what it really is. They just view it as another phenomenon. You know, they wake up in the morning, it's another set of problems to deal with or whatever, but it takes folks like us, I think, to continually keep bringing this stuff into perspective and into focus, and all we're doing is drawing from published sources, stuff that's already exists, it's right in front of us. So there's no real mysteries here. The only mystery is why people continue to view these things as phenomena that just pop up without any prior history.
Yeah, and there's the situation. We have people such as Nancy Levant. I don't know whether you know Nancy Levant or not.
No, I don't. I've never heard the name.
She's a former school teacher. She's written quite a bit about the situation in our country. And she's exposed different situations to the fact that she's, well, here it is, in our Agenda 21 section. I keep waiting and waiting and waiting for Bill O'Reilly or Sean Hannity or Oprah Winfrey or somebody, anybody who has daily access to the multitudes to say the words Agenda 21, and I'm still waiting. And for the life of me, I don't understand the refusal to talk about the greatest threat to America that has ever existed. And actually, it's the greatest threat to the world. But this is the thing that's so telling to Nancy Levant and others, that Agenda 21 is going into full place and is still the best-kept secret in the world.
It's known by many different names, and a lot of the aspects of, quote, Agenda 21, sustainable development and environmental enhancement and all of these different monikers attached to it sound so benevolent that the average Joe doesn't seem to really grasp the magnitude of the of the social and economic engineering that is implied with what those of us in our circles refer to as Agenda 21.
Well, and this is the point. It's going on everywhere. And they don't talk about it. I mean, we've got this thing about empowerment zones going on right now out in Oklahoma. When you connect to vaccinations, you can probably connect to Agenda 21 very easily if you spend the time to research it. And yet they're trying to vaccinate us with this bird flu situation. So, you know, sustainable development is the big catchword.
Sure.
A gigantic catchword. And yet we're watching on the news the fact that these birds have to be killed. And yet under Agenda 21, we're all supposed to be vegetarians. We're not supposed to eat meat.
Right. Well, you know, it's really kind of fascinating when you go back a multitude of decades. I think you can kind of begin wherever in the timeline of history you want, and you see that there's been all of these different little agendas, these different manipulations to cow people into certain beliefs, into certain places where they can live. And if I have this desire oftentimes to explain things metaphorically or through visualization, and the best metaphor or visual that I can attach to this is it's like a big, huge circle net that Indians on, say, the Columbia River would throw out to catch a bunch of salmon, or even fishermen out on the ocean to catch a bunch of tuna. They throw out this big, huge circle net, and then they draw it in slowly, 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 and then all of a sudden jerk it out of the water. And the fish inside don't really understand that they're being enclosed, but they're closer and closer together, and all of a sudden they're being jerked out of the water. And that's very much what it feels like with regard to not just Americans, but people all over the world. This big circle net was thrown out decades, even centuries ago, and it's about to be jerked out of the water.
What are your perspectives from your publication of what's going on these days?
Well, that's kind of a broad question, but I definitely see here in America, there's no doubt in my mind based on, and we even did a front page on this on August of 2005, we did the front page, top front page headline in Spanish. And I'm not even going to pretend to try to pronounce correctly the Spanish that it was written in, but the translation is, secretive negotiations between Fox, Bush, Martin reveal intent of U.S. immigration policy. There is no doubt in my mind that we are nine-tenths of the way already towards a consolidation of Canada, the U.S., and Mexico into one country, and the people of this country have not really been apprised of it through the press. It should be top front page headlines continually because it's the biggest news since Cornwall surrendered to Washington, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, we're nine-tenths of the way there. And when it happens, one day we're going to wake up, boom, there it is, Canamex, we're here. We're one big, huge, happy country now. And it's, I believe it's treasonous, and it should be viewed that way by the press, but it's just not. So that's what I'm seeing at this time, aside from all the other things that are happening. Probably the biggest story right now that is being underplayed, or not played at all, except perhaps in the alternative media, is that the United States is about to no longer exist. And by 2010, I believe, the land of the free and home of the brave, which, of course, in practical application no longer exists, will, in fact, be relegated to the annals of history.
And so as a result of Hurricane Katrina, we have Mexican troops and Canadian troops in America.
Sure.
We don't know what happened to them or where they went.
Where'd they go?
And
it's been rumored for quite a few years now that there have been, well, there was Holdman Air Force Base had German Air Force engaging in maneuvers here. We know from experience that a lot of Orientals, Koreans particularly, have been, and Chinese, have been coming into the United States through Canada in cargo ships and cargo containers. And so there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about the occupational army of foreign troops just slowly but surely matriculating into this country. And I, at this point, am not really seeing any evidence to indicate that that hasn't been happening. And we are about to, in case of a declaration of martial law, we are going to be surprised at the number of foreign-speaking people who are going to be taking up arms against us with the absolute full cooperation and knowledge of our beloved leaders in Washington, D.C.
There it is. That's most definitely a concern everyone should have, because it is the fact, in my opinion, that that is going on. After all these years of secret containers coming into this country, migration coming to this country, the situations about that make you believe that this is what's going on. Foreign troops in America, in plain clothes now, listeners, in plain clothes. They don't have their uniforms on yet, but we're close to martial law right now. It's about to happen. Martial law coming to a neighborhood near us. Stay with us. We'll be back with Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer. Listeners, Don Harkins is our guest here. The Idaho Observer has been in place for how many years, Don?
We are well into our ninth year of publication. The first edition rolled off the press in January of 1997, back in the innocent days of yore.
Innocent days of lack of information, where we're at a time now where information is everywhere. On the computer is the main situation, the websites and web directions. There's much documentation that can be obtained today. However, the Idaho Observer has been at this fight for 9 years, and here they're going to mandate vaccinations. They're going to create martial law under certain circumstances that are apparent. And so here we are, 2005. Implementation of directions that 10 years ago most people would have thought unheard of.
No, it is quite amazing. You go back to, I began at the Oregon Observer in 1995, and back in those days, we didn't have email and we weren't on the web. And so everything was cut and paste, and you got your information the good old fashioned way by going to a book or getting it in the mail. And things have changed dramatically, and I don't believe that there's many of us, even some of these guys that have been around in the conspiracy realm since the 50s and the 60s, could have even imagined that it would unfold in the really perverse manner that it is at this time. And to think that the state of martial law that the feds have been itching to declare in this country for some time would come under the guise of a medical emergency, which is an absolutely manufactured fraud.
And there it is. And Ingrid's done a lot of research on vaccinations, correct?
That is correct. In fact, in the October edition of the paper, understanding that the bird flu thing was going to be very large in the public's mind, she did quite a bit of research into the background of the 1918 and 19 Spanish flu epidemic, which suddenly everybody knows the party line about anyway. Not, they don't understand the realities of the 1918 Spanish flu. Oh, excuse me, the Spanish flu, the swine flu for a while, and now, magically, it was an avian flu. I mean, uh-huh. It's just nuts. In fact, the death toll from the 1918-19 Spanish flu pandemic is still mounting. In 1999, I've got a CDC live satellite broadcast called Preparing for the Next Influenza Pandemic, which is an extremely informative program. And they did a little recounting of the 1918 Spanish flu. And the amount of people that allegedly died at that time, they said, and this is February 26th of 1999, was when the broadcast was broadcast, was 20 million. And now the CDC is claiming that it's 40 million. So the amount of people that died from the Spanish flu is doubled in the last 6 years, so I guess people are still dying from it.
From the history.
Exactly.
Perspective. Historical perspective of propaganda would be the proper word for it. Think about these people that work in these vaccination labs, and you've got to think that most of these people think they're doing the right job for America. Wouldn't you think?
Well, you know, I would have excused a lot of these folks in decades past because research projects were so compartmentalized that one scientist would not necessarily know what another scientist in another part of the country operating under a federal grant from another university is doing, and on a need-to-know basis. They go ahead and put together their little bit of research, and it's only a component of the bigger whole, and I can excuse people not knowing what they were really involved with in decades past, but with the net and the virulence with which information just shoots all over the globe at the flick of the send button, I don't give those excuses to people anymore. I do believe that many people are functioning under the belief that they're doing the right thing for the right reasons, but these days that sort of myopia is really not justified in my opinion, and if they're participating in this kind of research, they're obligated to expand beyond their little four walls of their research lab and understand the bigger picture, and if they continue after that, then they are monsters on the level of the Bush administration, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, here we see from the Chicago Tribune, dated the 19th, bird flu has spread beyond Southeast Asia to China, Russia, Kazakhstan, Mongolia, Romania, Turkey, and possibly Greece. It's still bird flu, though, not people flu. The world has time to prepare for the prospect that the H5N1 virus will become a widespread lethal threat to humans. Each new bird population that becomes infected increases the risk of human exposure. That, in turn, increases the risk, and virus will mutate to a form that would be easily passed from person to person in a world population with no natural immunity to the strain. Now, didn't we go through this same thing with mad cow at one time?
We've gone through it on just about every mutating virus that they are scaring us into believing is epidemically prevalent or is threatening to be epidemically prevalent. And like we discussed, hold that thought then.
We'll be right back with Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer. Stay with us.
I cry for my country, for the pain that it's been through. She's been made to suffer for the profit of a few.
Welcome back to the broadcast, listeners. That is Poker Face. Their website is pokerface.com. Don Harkins is with us, and I see here, continuing from the Chicago Tribune, to understand why bird flu has so rattled the scientific community in 2005, you have to understand the scope of the global pandemic of 1918. That began as a strain of bird flu and killed an estimated 675,000 Americans and 50 million people worldwide.
Oh, 50 million now.
There you go.
God, do I hear 60?
Refresh the listener's memory about the 1918 pandemic, as the Chicago Tribune just laid the BS on us right here.
Well, it was an outbreak of flu, which, like all of the three major flu pandemics that have happened, I think, since about the late 1880s, all three have begun in a U.S. military installation. The Spanish flu, I believe, began at a military installation, an army installation in Tennessee, if I remember correctly, and then it just got out all over the world. For, you know, how it happened is a matter of speculation.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, it got all over the place, and a lot of people died. Was it 20 million? Was it 40 million? Was it 50 million? It seems like the government's just like these trillion-dollar deficits. We just throw these big, huge numbers around and add a bunch of zeros, and nobody really accounts for them. They're just out there, and they get writ large in the public mind, and then they just get to be frightened of something based on the number of zeros that trails with it. But a couple years ago, an expedition. There's been two different places, I believe, where reservoirs of the Spanish flu were located, and one of them was in Alaska, and then one's in the North Sea. And scientists grabbed these guys or these specimens and have been out there toying with it since. And perhaps what we have now is the result of that. Now, Arita, a couple of interesting things here on the history of it that my wife Ingrid pulled together for the October edition of the Idaho Observer, which should be posted to the web here in the next three or four days at idaho-observer.com. But said in February 2004, the BBC reported that British scientists determined that the strain of virus responsible for the 1918-19 Spanish flu pandemic was an avian virus that had mutated. This information was determined by exhuming bodies from villages within 700 miles of the North Pole from people who had died during the 1918-1919 flu pandemic. And then, let's see, is the reason for this confusion due to the fact that the existence of viruses was known but not isolated and categorized until after 1933, the year the electron microscope was invented? And then here's this. Some articles from the late 90s even theorized that the virus originated in birds that infected pigs, then infected humans. So they're going forward with our understanding and these scare tactics on pure theories that don't really seem to have any basis in scientific reality. And so I think that it's really not so much the virus that is mutated in this way, although viruses and bacteria are pleomorphic, meaning they do change form depending upon the terrain. But what's really mutating here is political expediency.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned last week there's a Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She is one of our good friends, and she's one of the most brilliant researchers I know. She has applied her prodigious research talents to the general spectrum of vaccines and their danger and inability to actually curb infectious disease, and actually what they do is enhance the spread of infectious disease. And she's just been excellent in pulling out of the salt mines, that would be the published medical literature, the exact evidence that supports our belief system about the inefficacy and the dangers of inherent in mass vaccination, or even just singularly as vaccination. And it's right there. It's in their own published literature, the stuff that they draw from. And then from that, they twist it and still advocate vaccines. But she uncovered with the bird flu, and her stuff on the bird flu is absolutely state-of-the-art, cutting edge. And you can find all of her most recent data on this subject matter at osteomed.com. Just go to osteomed.com, and it's right there on top Front Street. You can't miss it. And you can get really apprised of this stuff, so you're not responding out of fear any longer. You realize that this is nonsense, and then you can understand how your body works, learn how your body works so you don't have to have any fear of any disease anymore, because you understand how your body works and you know how to either prevent or reverse things that are already occurring in you. But she has also uncovered a new game plan for how the flu season, flu scare 2005-2006 campaign is going to be run because of what they learned from flu scare 2004 and 5. And if you'd like, I can briefly illustrate the 10-point plan that she uncovered.
Oh, let's do it.
Okay. Start where the audience is, step one. In other words, really, the people who are generally most frightened of pandemics are people who live packed in close together in the big cities. So they have done what we've seen. They've mounted a campaign to scare everybody about the bird flu. Now, of course, in the age of modern communications, everybody has access to this information, but the real heavy concentrations are being conducted in the big cities, because that's where people are most easily frightened. Two, don't be afraid to frighten people. And so that's what we're getting with the 1918 Spanish flu comparison. You know, we're up to 50 million people died, and these, of course, are unqualified numbers, but you go ahead and throw it into the minds of the public, and they get to get all scared about it. And so now they're fearful of this thing that's coming their way. Step three, acknowledge uncertainty. You know, these guys are being quite candid and saying, boy, it may do this, it may do that, it may strike here, it may strike there. We just don't know. We've got to get prepared. Four, share dilemmas. And this is something that you can see happening in the news, too, as they're talking about, you know, the complications for public health delivery. How are we going to vaccinate all these people? How are we going to protect our public health care workers? You know, how are we going to logistically get all the beds and body bags and everything that we need to deal with this issue? So that's just like getting people in touch with the concerns and problems that will be faced by the public health infrastructure that's going to be coming to their rescue, allegedly. Five, give people something to do. And that's something that we're seeing is these rehearsals. There's been a couple in our area where they invite the public to be victims or whatever in a rehearsal of these things. And the cops show up and the nurses and doctors and everybody shows up and they set up these, rehearsal vaccination centers, and they file everybody through, and it's just really quite an elaborate sort of exercise that is being funded in part by the CDC and local state funds, too. Six, be willing to speculate responsibly, it says. So that's where they're going to go ahead and speculate. I even heard, I'm not sure if you've heard this figure or not, but it was just thrown out there, that when bird flu hits and it starts doing its thing, as many as 1 billion people could die. A billion.
Isn't that amazing?
And the part of the plan is to speculate responsibly. I'm not sure if a billion is a very responsibly speculated number.
Well, you know, 250 million was something that was crossed my mind when I read certain things in the past, and that comes to my mind now, 250 million. But the bottom line is scare the public into vaccinations.
Scare them. And then step seven is don't get caught in the numbers game, which is interesting because, as we've seen, these numbers are not qualifiable. When they get thrown out there, they're not really being attributed to any specific individual or any specific agency. It's just a number that gets thrown out in some news story, like the Chicago Tribune story or something. They might just throw out a figure, CDC, a spokesman for the CDC said, or something. But it's so nebulous. And so they're throwing these numbers out there, but they're not making anybody responsible for actually having said them. That way you don't have to tag them to try to get some kind of documentation to support their responsible numbers game here.
Yeah.
And then step eight, stress potential magnitude over probability. Now, isn't that interesting? We're being told that this is going to happen, and so it's not even a probability issue. They're saying it's going to happen. And the magnitude is, just think of the possibilities here. 250 million to a billion people could die as a result. So that's the kind of stuff that gets in people's minds. And that is, of course, the kind of thing that really allows this fear-based response to just fester in there until things begin happening. And then step nine is guide the adjustment reaction, worry, fright, and drugs. In other words, I happen to know quite a bit about how the body works. If I believe that a flu bug is coming, what I do is I begin tanking on vitamin C, oregano oil, I drink lots and lots of water, and I make sure that I minimize the amount of starchy foods, sugary foods, meat, dairy, and coffee and alcohol that I consume to keep my body pH in a zone that isn't conducive to propagating bugs. In other words, if the listeners out there aren't familiar, your body's pH is pretty much the bellwether measurement for whether you're going to get sick or not and how sick you're going to get if you do get sick. You need to keep your body pH between 7 and 7.5 at all times, particularly in the cold and flu season, to minimize or even eliminate the possibility that you're going to get sick. If you do that, if your body pH is 7 to 7.5, you're not getting the bird flu. It's that darn simple. The bug can't propagate in an oxygen-rich, alkaline-type environment. It's simple biochemistry. And so they're not telling us to do any of that stuff. All they're saying is that you need to be worried, and if you're lucky, you're going to be able to get a vaccine, and you'll be able to get antibiotics and other drugs to help. So it's a totally allopathic response to what could be an easily prevented holistic dietary regimen. Simple. Okay, and then step 10 is inform the public early and aim for total candor and transparency. And they're doing that too. You can see it. You know, they talk to these public health people and they're frightened too, and they want to be there for all of us, and they want to set this stuff up, but they've got money issues, they've got supply issues, they've got personnel issues, they need more money, you know, all this kind of stuff. So you can most definitely see how the new game plan, this new 10-step plan, is being played out at this very moment.
And there you have it. Oscar Langman has written something, and he says local newspapers, international news magazines, and the internet have been replete with articles about the probable outbreak of an avian flu pandemic. All paint a grim picture of between 7.4 million and 150 million deaths within a period of 5.5 months. It is not a blown-up figure they project, as they cite the pandemic of 1918, which claimed 100 million lives in that span of time. Now we're up to 120.
You're 120.
Can you believe this?
No, it's just astounding, isn't it?
It's absolutely incredible. And now we go to the UN. Some scientists say it is not a matter of if, but when the disease will sweep all over the world. For this reason, the World Health Organization has sent out warnings to all nations and advised them to develop preparedness plans. Travel ban, quarantine, closure of public places, cancellation of mass gatherings, and declaration of state of emergency are among the measures the Philippine government is ready to adopt when migratory birds bring the virus to our land. That's what they say. So here we see this is preparedness at the national level. But are the gated communities where most of the readers of this newspaper reside prepared to cope with the grim situation? I asked a friend, a public health practitioner, who is now posted at the Kobe office of the World Health Organization, if the organization has pro forma plans which communities can adopt to deal with the daunting situation. It has done, it says. Public health officials have created the chilling scenario of hospitals and other health facilities being overwhelmed by the number of patients seeking treatment and other health services, health professionals being reduced in number because they, after being exposed to the virus, are themselves down with the sickness, antiviral agents and antibiotics being exhausted, basic services like power, water, transportation, and communication severely strained by absenteeism, drug stores, grocery stores, restaurants, and public markets closed and padlocked to prevent looting by a desperate population. Can you believe what the scenario is here, Don?
It's definitely opening the door for medically induced martial law.
And when that happens, all bets are off whether you're even going to be able to stay in your property or not.
Yeah, no kidding. And what's really interesting, too, when you go back through history, as you know, history is generally written and published by the victors, but in every single historical event that has taken place in the last 1,000 years, there have been dissident views that have been penned as well. They don't get as widely published or circulated, and they don't quite as often surface in public libraries, but nevertheless, they're there, and when you seek these things out, you can find that certain patterns repeat throughout history, and one of them is the use of mass vaccination as a public health methodology, I guess, usually advanced through enforcement mechanisms that involve guns. But in every single case, including the Spanish flu, you find that the allopathic treatment perpetuates the disease and the virulence of the organism and the pandemic nature of infection in communities. And it's the people who treat the disease with proper diet and nutrition that if they do get the disease, it's mild and they don't die from it, for one, and also in communities of people that are healthy because they have clean water, clean food, and good attitudes, are generally immune. They have immunity to the disease because their bodies are not so disposed to create the environment where they proliferate. That simple.
We'll be back with Don Harkins. If you have any questions for Don, 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. The scenarios continue to wrap themselves around us, listeners. Fight them off and research. We'll be back. Again, we're back with Don Harkins for the Idaho Observer. IdahoObserver.com is their website. Do you know, as far as your publication, how is that going with your publication, Don?
Well, you know, there's so many alternative presses that have shut down over the last several years that there's not many of us left. And indeed, it is a little bit difficult to keep such a thing going because you're always on the clock, so to speak. If there's 24 hours in the day, that's about the amount of time that you're involved in producing a publication or gathering information for it or thinking about it or whatever. It's just like being a radio host, I believe.
Yeah.
And so I would say for over a year now, every single month, the bulk rate mailing, so the subscribership has been increasing. Also increasing are the number of people who are helping us distribute the material. The amount of people that visit the website seems to be going through the roof also. So I'm encouraged by the numbers of people who are beginning to realize that everything is not as it seems and that they need to do something, at least get more information to be prepared for the coming catastrophes, which are happening with more and more frequency, as you know.
Well, the planned catastrophes, the planned events, the manipulation of the public, we haven't even covered on them, the Middle East mess, and certainly right now CNN has a lot of prominence to Hurricane Wilma,
mm-hmm.
which you know, Hurricane Katrina, foreign troops in America, we don't know where they went, our National Guard prominence over there, FEMA's prominence, the destruction of that area, although certain pristine portions of New Orleans are in good shape, which is very ironic in itself.
Well, sure.
So the people that were evacuated as a result of Katrina, we don't know where they all went. There's no accounting for them, all of them. And 1 million were evacuated, it was reported.
Yeah, where are they at now? Just matriculating throughout the country? Or, you know, that is an interesting question, isn't it? A lot of people had lives and jobs and assets and things in that area, and what, they've just kind of disappeared? They've just been reabsorbed into Americana?
Yeah. And we have, as of a couple of weeks ago, 40 states, and they declared a state of emergency. They declared a state of emergency, a national emergency, 40 states. Where is that going to lead as more propaganda is being thrown on us about this bird flu pandemic and another hurricane in Florida, which you know, by Saturday night, they say it's going to be a very devastating hurricane. Well, who knows at this point?
Yeah, no kidding.
The way scientists have reported, certain scientists, this one individual, Ben Livingston, who works for the Weather Modification Incorporated, he knows the fact that hurricanes can be steered away from harm's way.
Sure.
And so here we have this situation of that coming at us, and this is why it's so vitally important that we continue with our endeavors to wake up America, and in turn, America needs to support us so we can continue to do this. And that's where the subscription to the Idaho Observer is very, very vital.
No, it really helps. We make the items of interest that are generated exclusively by the Auto Observer available on the internet every month for free. You can just go up there and check it out. But it's the hard copy, guys. It's the print that gets out there, and it's got staying power, and you can share it with people, and it's there in history. It's not going to be altered like the electronic universe can.
Let's continue with Don for a few more minutes. Stay with us. Any calls? 800-313-9443.